I wanted to say, Colton, Connor, just proud of you boys. Getting up here and reading the passages is, you do a great job. And I think about that, and I think about, you know, Tyler and Dustin. I remember when Dustin came up the first time, he was crying when he had to do something. But Jordan, Blake, Trevor, all of them, you know, they got involved and did what you are doing. And then later on, you know, they followed the gospel, and then they would lead on the table and just do different things. I'm saying that it will serve you well. It will help you in your life as you go forward, because you will be able to influence and lead other people. And hopefully you do that in a way that glorifies God and helps people. So it'll serve you well. I just wanted to say that. It's great to be with you this morning. I appreciate, as I said, Colton reading that text, Philippians, the second chapter, verses 3 and 4, and we'll get back into that. But I wanted to share a story. I may have shared this before, but I think it'll serve the purpose this morning. It's been a few years, but of course we take Bailey out on walks, and she's absolutely crazy, to put it mildly. But we were walking over at the park. It's by a fountain, and it's a nice setting. And so we are over there walking the dog, and I can't remember who else was with Angela and I, but I think there were a couple of other people with us. And we were walking around, and pretty soon here comes this lady, and I think she had 3 dogs with her. And these dogs were crazy too, and they got entangled with one another, and she had some male dogs, and one of the male dogs was doing what it does with female dogs, and it was getting kind of crazy, and she was all over the place, and finally I just yelled out, "Lady, get a hold of your dogs." And she said, "I'm so sorry, sir, I'm trying." And she had fell down, and the dogs were dragging her all over, and I walked away, and I just felt so bad about how I treated her. And, of course, I'm not going to live it down for the rest of my life, because my family reminds me of that constantly, among other things. But I thought about that, and I thought, you know, I had not considered that she was truly trying to get control of her dogs, and that I had not seen or even considered that she had fallen down in trying to get a hold of her dogs. And I had not considered or realized how upsetting it was to her. And I had not considered that those 3 dogs had overpowered her, in essence. And I guess what I'm telling you is I was inconsiderate. I hadn't considered things. When you're considerate, you are showing kindly awareness or regard for another person and the circumstances that they may be going through. It is to reflect or to deliberate, to be mindful or sympathetic, and also it says to be charitable. Inconsiderate is to act without consideration, to be over hasty, to be rash, to be thoughtless, and to act without due regard for other people. It also says it's unkind and unthinking and impolite and self-centered. So this morning I want to talk about being considerate. I want to talk about it because I think we live in a world that can't see past the end of their nose. I think about traffic, you know. I've often said sometimes, like, if you're off and you don't have to get to work or anything, no big deal. Go ahead and cut on in. Not a problem. But, man, when you're in a hurry, you want to rush and get in front of someone and make sure that you get the position that you want because you need to get to where you're going. And you don't think about the other drivers that often. I'm reminded of, actually, I think Brother French has told the story about how he was on the freeway and there was this guy and this guy wanted to get in and Brother French, he was bound and determined this guy was not going to get in front of him. And he didn't. And finally, traffic eased up a little bit and the man came by him and said, "Thank you very much." Made him feel like pretty small. How often have we been that way? How often have you been looking for a parking spot? And, you know, you see someone else is going to try and get to that. Oh, that's my spot. And so you run in. There's a lot of examples, I think, that we could bring up and talk about of maybe the times that we have not been considerate toward others. But when you think about God, I find it interesting that if you look in Hebrews, the second chapter, it says in verse 6 of Hebrews 2, "It has been testified somewhere, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the Son of Man that you care for him?" God is mindful of man. And you can go through the passage there and see some different things that are pointed out there. But I just wanted to point out that when we look at God, God is one who is considerate of man. That is, he is aware and he has regard for you and I and for the circumstance that we are in. And namely this, we were lost and God considered that and planned for that and was considerate toward our lives. He loved us so much that he sent his Son to die upon the cross of Calvary. And so this morning I just want to go through a few things, and we're going to get to Philippians 2 because I believe that Philippians 2 holds a key for you and I on how to be individuals that truly are considerate. And it's not going to be rocket science, but it is the Word of God, and it points out how we are to be in our lives. So, just a few questions this morning. Do we take the time to be mindful? That is, do we take the time to be considerate, or mindful is another word, to consider others? I would turn your attention again to the book of Hebrews, and in the 10th chapter, I know it's a passage we're familiar with, but I think it would be well noted that we not only be familiarized with this passage, but that we apply that passage. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. You know, Angela and I try and read each morning, and we've been reading a book, and the book is Did Not Our Hearts Burn Within Us? And it's reflecting back, of course, on the road to Emmaus, Luke writing about the road to Emmaus and the two disciples that were with Jesus, and how Jesus, after he had been resurrected from the dead, they were walking with him, and he was expounding on the Word of God in reference to him. And then their eyes were opened after that road to Emmaus, And they said, did not our hearts burn within us while he was imparting to us the words that he had to share? In reading this book, there's a section that it talks about the early Christians and their dedication that they had toward the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ, so dedicated that they went through all these persecutions and heartaches, and some even faced death. So it was just pointing out how strong their motivation was, how connected they were to Jesus Christ, and how they were willing to give up their own lives. And in the wording, it says, and now we turn to today's day and age, and people can't make it to Bible study, or they're late to services. And so I think one of the things that we would do well is to remember this passage in Hebrews 2, that we want to consider one another, and that we want to consider one another to provoke each other to love and good works. How much does God's word really live in your life? How important and precious is that? And if that's the case, one of the things that we often have said is it's not a matter of a relationship with the words, but it is a relationship with the author of those words. And if we have a relationship with God, then that's going to turn to where we want to have a relationship with one another. And we're going to take the time and effort to put forth in order to build that relationship. So even the simplicity of gathering here on Sunday morning, do we really take the thought and consideration? Are we considerate of one another? Do we consider the efforts and times of others? You know, I think the carpet and chairs and everything look great. And there were a lot of people involved in getting that put together. I know Debbie spent a lot of time on getting it all organized. And I just thought, are we considerate of all those that did that, and were we thankful for it? Did we take the time to thank them? So, just thinking of that, and I was reminded of Luke, the 17th chapter. And if you're familiar with that, Jesus healed 10 lepers, right? And what happened? Only one came back and thanked him. One was considerate of what Jesus had done, and the others took it for granted. Do we take things for granted, or do we take time to be thankful for the things and for the time and the investment that people have made in building our spiritual lives? Do we consider, or are we considerate or mindful of other people's situation and the time that they have? Look in Mark, the 14th chapter. Mark 14. And we're going to go to verse 32. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. And he took with him Peter and James and John, and Jesus began to be greatly distressed and troubled. And he said to them, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch. And going a little farther, he fell on the ground and he prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but you will. And he came and he found Peter, James, and John. He found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, Simon, are you asleep? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. So I wonder if we are mindful of others. You know, I think, you know, we could go through a lot of people here. I think of Mary and Don. I think of Mary and Don and the pain that they have. But, you know, Mary asks how the grandkids are. Mary had asked how Frank was, you know, even though she is in a lot of pain. And I know a lot of you do. I'm just saying that all of us should remember others. I think of Jordan. I think of Jordan and how he works, well, probably 60 to 70 hours a week. And he's got these two guys right here that he takes care of. Do we consider his time? Are we thankful for what he does even here? So I guess I'm just saying we would do well to consider and encourage one another. Do we consider the goodness of God? Think about how good God is to you and I, to our lives. In Matthew, the 6th chapter, you know, I think so many people, and sometimes as we go through life, we can get caught up in just the daily cares of life, and we forget to be considerate. We forget to consider God and the things that God has done. He points out in Matthew, the 6th chapter, in verse 24, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? Take a look at the birds of the air. They don't sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? And which of you, being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They don't toil or spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, won't he much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what are we going to eat, or what are we going to drink, or what are we going to wear? Because the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, because tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. I think all of us can look back in our life at a time that we were worrying and anxious. And you know what? All that worrying and anxiousness, what did it change? Not one thing. Not one thing. He says, can you add a single hour to your life by being anxious? Well, I might suggest for your consideration, you might take some hours away by being anxious. I think the point is that we need to have faith and confidence in our God that he's going to provide for us. In other words, we are considerate. We consider who God is and what God provides for our lives. And you know what that leads to? It doesn't lead to anxiousness. It leads to thankfulness. And it leads to, I suggest, a settled mind in the love of God and what He provides for us, that He will provide the things that we need if we will only seek first His rule in our lives. So consider the goodness of God and be mindful of what God has done for us instead of seeking after all the things of a physical nature. And then consider the example of Jesus Christ. So to our text in Philippians, the second chapter, we're going to go to verses 5 through 11. I know that Tim went through this. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though He was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So consider the example of Jesus. And I think it would be summed up in this. Jesus was a servant. Jesus came to serve. He came to seek and save those that were lost. So Jesus gives us the example for our life that even though He had all the glory in heaven, He came to this earth. He was put into a tent, a fleshly body. He dwelled on this earth or tabernacled among us. He was, I say it all the time, He was full of grace and truth, and He displayed that throughout His life while He was here on this earth. Jesus, probably in the most difficult time of His life, served. He washed the disciples' feet. And He was ready to face the cross of Calvary. That's being considerate. So consider the example of Jesus. And the reason why is Jesus died on the cross because He considered you, to give you life, to give you peace, to give you joy, and to give you a relationship that will last a lifetime. That's what Jesus gave us. I also want to say, have you ever considered the cost of being inconsiderate? You know, I think when we are inconsiderate, it probably causes some frustration. And it causes people to be hurt. And I would suggest for your consideration, it can even damage relationships. And some relationships, I would say, are broken or have come to an end because there's no consideration. You know, 1 Peter 3 and verse 7, talking about marriage, the husbands are to live with their wife according to knowledge. I think it takes consideration. And I think that when we look, I think we can admit men think differently than women, and women think differently than men. So if you're married, you need to realize that and be considerate of it and to value one another. Do we consider those that are lost? I know when we've been reading through this book, it is evident that the early Christians were concerned to get the gospel of Jesus Christ in the hearts and lives of those that were around them. They recognized that they had life because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so they were willing to give their life in a sacrificial manner in order to get the gospel into the lives of other people, to give them that invitation, if you will, that here before you is the opportunity. We have found the key to life. We have found the source that is going to give us everything that we could possibly need, but not only that, the source of great spiritual blessings, and that source is Jesus Christ. We want you to know about him. We're going to live that. And in doing so, one of the things that we do is we are considerate of others. We consider that they are separated from God and that the only thing that can give them salvation is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do we consider that? Are we considerate of them? So I want to wrap up with this. How can you be considerate? And the keys, what Colton read this morning. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. There's the key. There's what it's going to take. And what he said is this. Number one, don't be selfish. He says, do nothing from selfish ambition. Number two, walk in humility. Number three, count others more significant than yourself. Number four, look at the other's interests instead of just yours. And number five, have the mind of a servant. Have the mind of Christ. Those are the keys. And so much of the time that goes against what creeps into our minds, what happens at the flash of a moment while we're living our daily lives. So the key is to have God in our minds, to be considerate, first of all, of our Father, and to be considerate or consider what he has done for us, that he sent his Son, Jesus, to die upon the cross of Calvary for you and I. So we would be considerate of that. And then that in turn would cause us to be considerate of others. That we go from that old man to a new man. That we go from selfishness to selflessness. That we go from walking in pride to walking in humility. That we go from I'm going to be number one to saying others are more significant than I am. You know, that's not easy, is it? And then from going to simply being after my own interests and not considering anyone else, to then looking at the interests of others. And going from a mind that is focused on myself and physical things to going to the mind of Christ that's focused on being a servant to others. Those are the keys. And those are the reminders, I believe, that we need to have in our lives to be considerate, first and foremost, toward God, and then to others, even our own brethren, even our own, you know, I think about our own family members. Sometimes we use just the comfortableness of family to be inconsiderate. So, food for thought. We always want to extend an invitation. And I would ask, have you considered the gospel of Jesus Christ? Have you considered what Christ has done? And if you know what Christ and God wants from your life, then I guess my question would be, why are you waiting? What are you putting off? You know, sometimes people look and they think they can't do it perfectly. And the answer to that is, you're right. You're not going to do it perfectly. And that's why you have Jesus. Because Jesus is the one that did live perfectly. And he is the one that can give you direction in life. So, some of you may know what it is that you need to do, but you've been waiting. You've been putting it off. And I just want to say, no matter what your age is, you don't know what's in store tomorrow. My son Trevor was, I think, headed to work. And he sent me a picture. His car's ruined. He got in an accident because a guy failed to yield in front of him, and he hit him at 50 miles per hour. And now he's got a concussion, and he has to go to physical therapy. They say it's not going to be long-lasting, but I'm just saying, you never know what's going to happen. So if you know what it takes, if you've heard the gospel, and I think you've heard as we speak, if you believe in that, you trust that Jesus truly is the Son of God, and you recognize that you don't do things perfectly, that means that you'll need to repent, that you'll need to have a change of mind, that I'm gonna live for Jesus, and you'll confess that Christ is the Son of God, and then you know what it takes. You know that you need to be baptized to reach the death of Jesus, to reach the blood of Christ, and to receive the forgiveness of sins. So, if you're subject to the invitation, we ask you to come forward as we stand and sing.